would start a new business now? Apparently, a lot of people. I'm Tom Shine, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCowan Gordon Construction, Fidelity Bank, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Coming up, we tour Wichita's old fire station number 6.
The red bell would hang outside, and somebody would come up and ring the bell and say, hey, you know, there's a fire somewhere.
But first, with the economy in a prolonged slump because of the pandemic, it might seem odd to decide that now is a good time to launch a new business. But data from the U.S. Census Bureau shows new business applications grew nationally in 2020, and the rate was even higher in the Midwest. I spoke with freelance writer and author Stan Finger, who recently reported on the trend for the Kansas Leadership Center's journal. He says the pandemic is fundamentally changing the way businesses operate, and a new business landscape is emerging.
And in that sense, it's creating an environment rife for entrepreneurial opportunity, and those who can adapt and meet the needs that are emerging or recognize needs that are emerging are the ones that are going to thrive in that.
Who are the people starting these new businesses? Do they share a common background or have a common trait among them?
I think the common trait was the belief in their idea and the willingness to work hard at it to make it happen.
Even during a pandemic?
Yes, which is interesting because the pandemic has, you know, created a whole new series of obstacles that they've had to figure out ways to overcome. And there's no one catch-all answer to it. It's just, here's this unique challenge. How do I overcome it?
At least one of the businesses you wrote about, Ad Astra Medical Devices, grew directly out of the pandemic. Tell us their story.
I'm told that Wichita State University officials told me local hospitals came to them and said, we have a tremendous need for stethoscopes, for medical equipment that we can use. Is there a way you can help us meet that? And they said, well, let's get to work on it. So they began working with some engineers and designed low-cost stethoscopes that they could produce. And apparently these stethoscopes that they designed and mass-produced there at WSU proved to be so effective that the hospitals were like, this is better than anything we are getting from our existing suppliers. So they thought, let's take a look at how we can produce this on a much larger scale. Now, to me, that's a classic example of, you know, they're meeting a short-term need, but recognized the scalability, to use the tech term or entrepreneurial term. There's a scalability potential there that makes something like this available not just to hospitals, but to a much broader audience, and not just locally, but globally.
There seems to be a lot of federal and state pandemic relief money available right now. Is that one of the things helping kind of fuel the surge of these new businesses?
If they're related to the pandemic, yes, but they, in many cases, they're loans. So they could help businesses with startup costs or you know, expansions, but they've got to keep in mind the fact that, you know, at some point these loans are going to come due and they're going to need to be paid. So they have to be careful about not getting in too deep, or their financials may not support their ability to repay the loans.
That was freelance writer and author Stan Finger. You can read his story about new businesses at KMUW.org. Wichita turned 150 years old last year, which means there's a fair amount of history in our city. But sometimes you have to search for it a bit. For this month's Hidden Kansas, Lou Ann Stevens explores a small building in South Wichita that contains a large piece of the city's past.
The Kansas Firefighters Museum is on Broadway, just south of Lincoln. It's another Wichita landmark that is hidden in plain sight. The museum is the original Fire Station No. 6, built in 1909.
And at that time, 7 firefighters are here.
That's David Wilson, Didi to his friends. He's the recording secretary for the museum and is passionate about the vocation and its history. He was my tour guide for the day.
And those 7 firefighters worked 7 days a week.
The museum has a photo of those original firefighters located close to the front door. Beyond that, the walls, the ceiling, every square inch of the building is full of memorabilia. Photos and plaques, logbooks, and best of all, old fire equipment.
This machine right here, it's a 1909 Seagraves chemical hose wagon. This is the original wagon for this station.
The wagon was drawn by two horses, Bill and Jerry. It's been fully restored to its original condition, as has the rest of the equipment.
Now, everything in the museum works and runs beside me.
There's a photo of Bill and Jerry, who were stabled on the first floor on either side of the wagon. Also posters and uniforms and bells, really loud bells, from early alarm systems.
The red bell would hang outside, and somebody would come up and ring the bell and say, hey, you know, there's a fire somewhere.
Heading upstairs, Dee Dee pointed out the landing on the staircase.
Now, do you know why the stairs go crooked instead of going straight up, like most stairs go?
I do not know. Why?
Because the horses would come upstairs when they run around. Horses don't like to turn this corner right here.
Are you serious?
Yes.
The second floor is divided into two rooms, a day room that would have had a large table and chairs and a kitchen of sorts. The other side is where the men would have slept.
This is what we call the bunk room. Don't know how they had them arranged, but there would be seven beds on this side.
The fire pole is in the bunk room, carefully cordoned off, with the opening blocked by plexiglass. I assumed it would be tempting for the kids. I assumed wrong.
Most kids know better. It's the adults I worry about more than anything, especially if you let them up here by themselves. You'll find somebody just standing right on the plexiglass ready to go down.
Dee Dee retired from the Wichita Fire Department after 33 years. He and other volunteers are responsible for everything you see, from restoring the engines to teaching the classes to acting as tour guides.
We're here to help and we're here to tell. Everybody has a story to tell, and we're hoping people come down and listen to the stories.
For The Range, I'm Lou Ann Stevens.
And one last thing. Lou Hill died this week. He was 55. But in my mind, he's still the tall, sturdy Wichita State basketball player I knew when I covered the Shockers in the 1980s. Hill was the head coach at Rio Grande Valley College in Texas. He died in his sleep the night after coaching his team. I'm always surprised when an athlete I knew during my years as a sports writer passes away. It's as if I think their athletic ability and vitality somehow shields them against the passage of time. It doesn't. As A.E. Housman wrote, "Today the road all runners come. Shoulder high we bring you home and set you at your threshold down. Townsmen of a stiller town." Thanks for joining us on The Range. Today's show was produced by Nadia Foe and Lou Ann Stevens. Torn Anderson composed our theme music. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KNUW, NPR for Wichita.